on a great and mighty God tonight. I love Him. I love Him with all my heart, with all my soul. I thank God for all that He's done for us throughout our years and how that God has blessed us. And I just love the Lord. I love Him. I do. I love Him with all my heart. I would like to, if this message turns out half decent tonight, I'd like to send this message out to somebody that's very special to me and Sister Bear. I'd like to send it out to my son Ollie and his family, to the grandkids, and I hope they would hear it and listen to it. But in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, beginning with verse 1, "Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God." Then Paul says, "But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ." And then Paul says, "But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us." You may be seated tonight, but I would like to speak tonight on these words, and however God would lead us tonight, and just take a few minutes. I might not even preach, might just speak a little bit. But you know, as Paul is writing these words, he's defending his ministry. He's defending his what he's done for the Lord, because he's been accused of many things. But he's saying here in verse 1, "Therefore, seeing we have this ministry." You know, I'm glad that God called me to preach. I never thought I'd ever be doing anything like this in my life. But you know, God's put us in the ministry. He's called us. And He says, "As we have received mercy, we faint not." And for the years that we've been serving God, you know, there's been ups and downs. But you know, we haven't fainted. We haven't given out, because God has given us mercy. God will give us mercy throughout until He calls us out of this life. I don't know when God's going to call us out. I'm ready to go. If He wants to take me tonight, I'm ready to go tonight. Praise God, that would be fine with me. But He said, "But we have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty." You know, there are some things in our life that we have to look at. And there's things in our life as we go along through this life that we have to evaluate how we're standing with the Lord and examine our life. And Paul said, we've renounced the hidden things of dishonesty. He said, "We don't not walking in craftiness. We're not handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth." You know, we live the truth. We have to live the truth of God's word. Every one of us that are here has to live according to the truth of God's word. And he says, "We commend ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God." You know, we need to leave an impression on those as we go through this life, that when they look at us, they can see Jesus within us. They know that we are a child of God. They know whose side we're on. And we do these things in the sight of God, remembering every step of this way that God is watching us, that God is keeping a record of everything you and I do. But then he talks about the gospel, and he says, "But if our gospel be hid,
You know, if the gospel is unseen, if the gospel is out of view of some, he said it's out of view and it's hid from them that are lost. You know, I thought about what the word lost means. The word lost in the end means to destroy fully or to perish. You know, God is saying through his word that there are those that the gospel is hid away from. He goes on, Paul says, in whom the God of this world, Satan is doing his best to hide the gospel from those in this world. He's doing his best to try to hide the truth of the gospel from your family and from my family. He makes them think that the gospel of Jesus Christ is something that restricts them, something that will take away from them the pleasures of this life. But let me tell you, there's pleasure in serving God. There's something good about serving God tonight. And the devil doesn't want men and women to know that. He doesn't want your children to realize that. He is here tonight doing his best to blind the hearts and minds of every one of us as we're here tonight. He would like for us not to see the truth that is in the gospel. There's good news in the gospel. Praise God, it's not something for people to look at and say, if I get saved and give my heart to Jesus, I could never enjoy my life. But I'll tell you, the devil don't want you or anybody else to know that serving God is a good thing tonight. That serving God is the best thing that they could ever do. So what does he do? The evil god of this world, Satan, goes around blinding their minds, blinding their hearts with lies, and deceiving them to trick them to take their soul to hell. He'd blind them to the fact that there is a hell. It angers me to know that there are people that will say to you tonight that hell is not real. My God, you see, church, the devil is doing his job very well tonight. It's time for us to get this gospel message out. It's time for us to lift up our voices and begin to say that serving God is a good thing. I'm glad to be a Christian. I know that there are ups and downs, there are valleys and mountaintops, but it's still good serving God. Jesus is with you. He is with me every step of the way. And the devil doesn't want people to see that truth tonight. But it is a truth tonight that Jesus will never forsake or fail any one of us tonight. Hallelujah. We're serving a good God tonight. Praise God. Jesus is a good Savior tonight. I'm glad he saved me. I'm glad I'm on my way to heaven tonight. Praise God. Paul goes on to say, in whom the God of this world had blinded the minds of them that believe not. He said, let's the light of the glorious gospel. You know, I know that there's some rules that we follow in this word. But the first thing that we need to tell people about is that God loves them. That Jesus Christ died on the cross for them so that they could have forgiveness from their sins, so that they could go to the cross and the precious blood, oh, that flow from the veins of Jesus, from the wounds in his hands, from the wounds in his feet, from where he was beaten, that the precious blood, hallelujah, still will wash away every sin, hallelujah, and he'll forgive everyone that comes to him. Praise God. Jesus is still the only way to heaven tonight. Hallelujah. Praise God. You know, I begin to think about what it means to be blind. And you know, when you think about blindness, it's hard for you and it's hard for me to comprehend what blindness is. Physical blindness. We've never been blind. But you know, I got up the other night from sitting at the computer and with the light shining in my eyes. And I walked into one of the rooms of the house and it was dark. I couldn't see my hand before my face. And you know, I began to realize and understand what blindness is. Blindness is simply that we lack any vision. We can't see where we're going. We can't see what's in front of us. We can't see the beauty of what God has created. We can't see the rivers, the streams. We can't see the sun, the moon, and the stars. But there's other things that, you know, we can see those with these physical eyes. But there's some things that Satan is hiding away from men and women tonight. He's trying to blind them. And he's doing his job very well tonight. Church, it's time for us to live in such a way, as Paul said, so that we can commend ourselves to the conscience of men and women around us in the sight of God. What they can't see by looking at the church and by opening the Bible and Satan is blinding them, they can see in your life. They can see it in my life. They can see that the devil is lying to them because of the change that's taken place within our lives tonight. Hallelujah. We've got to live right, church. We're going to have to live closer to God than what we ever lived. If we're going to see our family saved and make it to heaven, we're going to have to be about our Heavenly Father's business. There is no more time for delay tonight. Jesus is coming soon. People are dying and they're going to go to hell to be blind. The problem with spiritual blindness. I want to read you some scriptures. Blind people find it hard. They find life to be a struggle. If you've ever watched someone that's blind, you can look at them. You can see the struggle that they have just getting from place to place. You say, well, they learn. They can, in their house, they can learn where everything is. They might make it around pretty good through their house or where they're familiar. But you put them in a place that they've never been in before, and they find it a struggle. Let me tell you, church, if the devil blinds you and me tonight, we're going to struggle, we're going to stumble, we're going to fall at everything that he puts in our way. And this is what he wants tonight. He wants us to struggle. He wants us to stumble. He doesn't want us to finish this journey. He'd like for us just to fall down somewhere along the way and just give up and give out and say, I'm not going any further. But let's get our eyes open to this glorious gospel. Let's look into the Word. Hallelujah. And see what God has for each one of us tonight. Hallelujah. Isaiah 59 and 10 says this. He said, we grope for the wall like the blind. You ever see somebody blind and they're walking along? You know, if they're not sure, sometimes they can reach over and they can take hold of something and they can steady themselves, and step by step they can make some progress, but they can never make the same progress if they had sight and vision. You see, when we've got sight and vision and the Lord opens our blinded eyes, then we can make some progress. We don't have to hold on to a wall to struggle through. We don't have to stumble over every object that is in our way, but we can keep on going for Jesus. Hallelujah. Let him open your eyes tonight. Hallelujah. And then the spiritual blindness results in sinful living. You look at this world. I'm not going to give you all these scriptures tonight, but you look at this world that's blinded by Satan.
And you can see the sin getting more and more rampant, more wicked, more evil than what it's ever been before, because men don't care where they're going. They can't see where they're headed. The devil's never shown them that they're headed for a devil's hell. He never shown them that eternity is a place of torment. He'll let them have just enough a sight of this world to see what the pleasures are. But my God, what happens when the pleasures come to an end? What happens when men and women reach the end of this journey of life and they're not saved and not ready for heaven, and they're blinded by sin and Satan, and they've never looked at the gospel? Satan will blind us every chance he gets. He blinds men to the things of God. You know, he doesn't want men to view the things that God has for them. Did you know the Bible tells us that the eye had not seen, nor the ear heard, neither has it entered into the heart of man, the things that God has prepared for them that love him? You know, Paul said, men have never seen this, the eye has never seen. But I'll tell you what, with the eye of faith tonight, we can get into God's word. We can find that there's a better country. Hallelujah. There's a better place. Praise God, one day for the child of God. We've got to look with eyes other than these physical. We've got to look with the eye of faith. Hallelujah. And see that God has something for every one of us tonight. When we love him and put him first, hallelujah, we've got something to look forward to. Praise God. But listen, Paul went on to say in those verses of 1 Corinthians 2 and 9 and 10, when he goes on down to verse 14, he says, but the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. You know, I couldn't help but think that Satan would have men see the things of God as foolish. How many times have you talked to someone about church and about going to heaven, and they just kind of laugh at you? They take it lightly, and they count it as foolishness. They see no benefit in going to God's house. They see no benefit in kneeling at an old-time altar, because Satan has their eyes upon something else. He's showing them the things of this world. My God, it's time that we get our eyes upon things that are eternal. Hallelujah. That's going to last forever. Hallelujah. Oh, you know, Satan wants to blind men to the very thing that God has to offer those that love God tonight. You know, he's got a lot of our people blinded. No, you know, he don't want us to see that there's a heaven over there. He wants us to think that we just settle down here, look around and enjoy this old life, and everything's going to be all right. But I want to tell you something tonight, church. Every one of us is going to grow old. Some might leave this life at an early age. But if you don't leave at an early age, we're going to grow old. These bodies are going to fail us. They're going to begin to fall apart. They're going to decay while we're still in this temple. But oh, you see, the devil doesn't want you to see that there's a change coming for the child of God. That's going to take place in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye. Hallelujah. Glory. Hallelujah. And he gets you into a mood of complaining and griping and grouching and you know, blaming God for everything that goes wrong. Have you ever noticed that? Praise God, you know, something goes wrong, and old devil sits back, and he'll come to you and he'll say, now see, you know, look what God done. Where is your God? How many times have you heard people say, why did God allow this? Why did God allow that? And Satan has on the bad things and saying, blame God when he's the one at fault all along. It's not God that is the problem of this world, but it's sin and Satan tonight. And everybody is a blaming God for what's going wrong. God is the one tonight that wants good in your life. Satan doesn't want you to see that tonight. God is the one that wants you serving him, because it's going to pay with, I believe, eternal benefits. Praise God. We're going to reap rewards one day on the other side. You know, Satan, some men are blind to Jesus and the beauty of Jesus by Satan's desire. You know, Satan doesn't want you to see what Christ can do for you or me tonight. Oh, you know, he saved us. And you know, some of us made it past that point and we got saved, but that's as far as many go. Some never go any further, because the devil doesn't want you to see that God can daily load your life with blessings and benefits, that he is there for you. He wants you to get down in a rut and stay there. He doesn't want you to climb up where you can see the hills of heaven and the strength and the power and the might of God. Hallelujah. It's time we climb up, church. We ought to get up and on the highest point we can and say, I'm looking to heaven. Praise God. Satan, I'm tired of listening to your lies. I'm tired of you dimming my vision and blurring my vision. You know, I've got a problem with my eyes anymore, and they're beginning to fail me. But oh, you know, I've got something here. If I lose sight in these eyes, God's done given me enough in my heart. Hallelujah. But I can see if I lose all my vision in these eyes tonight. And I can, you see me wiping them tonight. They're getting blurry. Oh, you're looking a little blurry at times. Praise God. But I'll just wipe them a little bit. Put my glasses back on and give a second look. Praise God. You know, sometimes we need to wipe everything that Satan puts in our spiritual vision. We ought to take something and say, I'm just going to get it out. I want to see what God has for me. I want to see what the Lord has in store. Not when I get over there, but while I'm down here. Hallelujah. Glory. He doesn't want you to see the fact that God is dealing with your families. But you know, somehow God has a way of bringing it to our attention, doesn't he? Somehow he brings a way. You know, we might not see it with these eyes, but we see things with this heart. And I want to give God the glory and the praise and the honor for all that he's doing tonight. I'm not going to listen to the devil. But you know, sometimes because we can't see the answer, praise God, we don't believe it's there. But I'll tell you, when we ask God in faith, believing, praise God, the answer's on the way. Hallelujah. Sometime, some way, somehow, somewhere, hallelujah, the answer's going to arrive. And we're going to be able to say, thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah. You know what we ought to do? Praise God. We ought to go ahead and say thank you anyhow.
Amen.
Whether we see it or not. This stuff to sit around feeling sorry for ourselves. How many's ever done that? I've done that a time or two. We probably all have. We get a little old pity party thing. Oh, I feel so bad. And I just don't feel good. And this went wrong. And that one's wrong. Why don't you look around and see what God's done right in your life for a change? Oh, hallelujah. And see the good things that God's done for you. Hasn't he been good to us? I'm getting off the thought tonight. But you see, the devil doesn't want you to see that. The devil doesn't want your family to see what Jesus did for them on Calvary. You know, and sometimes we're guilty of enforcing his vision that he's given to those that are lost, because we're not living like we're saved people. My God, we ought to live happy in this world. In this world, we ought to show a little bit of joy and rejoicing. Praise God, and let them see that there's something good about serving God. Hallelujah. Praise God. You know, there's times times that we get the Mardi Gras fits and we just don't want to shout and praise Him. Oh, but preacher, you don't know what's going on in my life. You don't know what's going on in this preacher's life. But I tell you what, when I can feel Him and when I know He's there and when I can take His word, hallelujah, I know something good is happening whether I see it or not. Yeah. Hallelujah. We're going too much by sight instead of by faith tonight. Oh, you see, Isaiah 51, 53 and 1, in verse 2 says this, "Who hath believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed?" Have you ever testified to somebody and it looked like nothing's ever happening? You know, we think we ought to testify. We ought to preach. You know, when I first started preaching, I'd get mad at people because I'm preaching and they're not responding. And I learned a long time ago that it doesn't work that way. I had to learn that when I preach or teach or witness to somebody, I'm planting a seed. Praise God, when you plant it in fertile ground, it's going to grow. But it's going to grow in its time, in God's time. Praise God. And then you can begin to see things begin to happen. Praise God, we're planting that seed. Oh, we're getting in a hurry sometimes. Praise God, what about that farmer? When he plowed his field, he planted his seed. And you know, he don't go out there and lean against a fence post and say, "I'm going to wait and watch it grow up." My God, he knows it's coming. He knows, hallelujah, what's happened before is going to happen again. Let me tell you something, church. God's been in the soul saving business and washing souls clean in the blood since Calvary. Hallelujah. It's not stopped. It's not going to stop. Hallelujah. Let's just plant the seed and just watch it grow. Hallelujah. Oh, we get in a hurry, don't we? Don't we, sister? Oh, save my mom and dad, Lord. Hurry up and do it. Oh, you know, I don't know how long they're going to be around. God knows. You don't have to worry about that. God knows. And when we're faithful to God, God will meet that need. God will bless. God is dealing with people, church. And you know, we don't see it. Brother Williams sat here this morning, and I didn't even know that he was done with the doctors, but he said something about it, you know. He don't have to go back anymore. Praise God, I hope his foot's all healed up good, and he don't have to go back anymore. Praise God, he might look at it on the outside, and it looked, you know, everything looked on the outside like it's good, but maybe it just got a little bit longer to go. But oh, you know what, we can't see. Praise God, when we take an aspirin for a headache, I don't watch it go down and dissolve. I can't see it going through these blood veins of this body. But I'll tell you what, hallelujah, there's been many a time that I felt it work. Hallelujah, God is still at work tonight. Hallelujah, He's going to do what He said He would do. But Satan wants to blind you. And he wants to blind me. He doesn't want us to see what Jesus can do. That writer said, "Who hath believed our report?" The devil doesn't want men to see that the Lord's loving arm is reaching out to save and rescue them from their sins. He doesn't want them to know that the arm of the Lord isn't shortened tonight, that He cannot save. You know, a lot of people don't think that, even us in the church. How many times have we been guilty of looking at people and we see them? We see what they're doing. Our own families at times. Oh, you know, because when we're looking at them, we might see them doing something bad and something they shouldn't do. But let me tell you, church, if we'll have faith and we'll believe God, we'll see God turn those things around. Hallelujah. Oh, we got to believe Him. Praise God. We want to change them. I can't change them. You can't change them. But the Holy Ghost can get a hold of them. And the Holy Ghost can change them. Make them brand new creatures. Hallelujah. They can be born again. God still on the throne tonight? You know, who hath believed our report? Paul said, for he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of a dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness, and says, and when we shall see him. Oh, there's no beauty that we should desire him. Many in Israel turned Christ away. The Bible said he came unto his own, but his own received him not, because they didn't see what they were expecting to see. They were looking for somebody to come riding into Jerusalem on a big military horse, leading an army and delivering them from under the Roman oppression. Jesus didn't come to set them free from that, but oh, he's come to set free from something that's far worse than a Roman soldier or an oppressive army, an enemy army. He come to set men and women free from sin. Hallelujah. And if they can get free from that, then they are free indeed tonight. Hallelujah. Because they couldn't see it their way, they didn't believe it, and they turned the Lord away. Oh, listen, he was wounded for our transgressions. People don't see that. You know, they see Jesus as being a good man. And you know, the devil doesn't want people to see that Jesus went to Calvary, that he died on the cross, that when he went there and they drove those nails in his hand, they put those crown of thorns on his head, they beat him and tortured him and tormented him and mocked him. You know, the devil doesn't want them to see that that was just for me as an individual, for you as an individual. He doesn't want them to see it was because of your sin and my sin that Jesus died on the cross. No, you know, but when they begin to see those things, and they begin to realize that, and God begins to touch their heart, you can watch that person begin to change. You can see, you know, a lot of us in our churches now, we've sat so long and we don't see Calvary anymore. We don't even look towards Calvary anymore. We look to other things. We're once saved, then he's saved, always saved. We just got that same belief that so many are believing on false teaching. My God, every once in a while. And we ought to do as individuals in our spirit, we ought to make our way up to Golgotha's hill. We ought to look upon the cross. We ought to see the blood dripping from his veins. We ought to see him in agony, there bleeding and dying for our sins. We ought to go by Calvary one more time and take a good look.
Bless Jesus.
Oh, but Satan's blinded our vision with other things. When's the last time you've really looked at Calvary like that? Think about it. When's the last time that you've ever sat down and thought about what Jesus did for just you? You see, Satan's got our eyes on other things. He's having us to look at all the world events. We're so wrapped up in these things. And I know they affect us. I know what's happening has a direct effect. You can't help but pull up to the pump and see the price of gas, and go to the grocery store and see the price of the food, how that things are going sky high. But you know, I think we ought to do, praise God, like old Moses did and the children of Israel. When everything else fails, we can look to heaven and we can see that God, if he has to, he'll give us a fresh outpouring of manna. Praise God. He'll fill our meal barrel if it's empty. Hallelujah. As long as we got our eyes upon him tonight. Hallelujah. Oh, but preacher, the cupboard's bare. You know, things are running out. Oh, well, look to the one that holds all the resources. The Bible said, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. You see, it doesn't. The oil that they're pulling out of the ground and the groceries and the produce that's growing in the fields. Hallelujah. They might think it belongs to them, but praise God, it all belongs to God tonight. Amen. Hallelujah. We can look to him when the cupboards are bare. We can look to Him when there is no gas to buy. Praise God, and He'll get us where we need to go. He'll see we've got our daily bread. Praise God, and we'll just keep our eyes upon Jesus tonight. Don't let the devil blind you to the promises of God. Don't let the devil blind you to the way that God provides our needs. Hallelujah. God will still meet every need when we look to Him.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Praise God. Satan doesn't want people to see that Christ suffered for sins. You know, he just wants people to think church is just a bother. A lot of Christians are getting to that. A lot of Christians are looking to church as being a burden, like they did in Malachi's time. Oh, you know, it was a weariness for them to serve the Lord. My Lord, we ought to not look at it as being a weariness, but we ought to thank God He gives us the privilege to be in His house. Hallelujah. If you don't want to be here, then you're not going to go to heaven. Hallelujah. We got to want to be in God's house. Praise God if we're going to go to heaven. We've got to want to have Jesus in our life if we're going to go to heaven. We've got to see that we maintain our relationship with Him if we're going to make it to heaven. We're not there yet. Hallelujah. But oh, one day, I believe we're going to see those things that we can't see now. You see, the Bible says that the eye had not seen, but it didn't say we wouldn't see, did it? Oh, hallelujah. One day we're going to look upon that place. Praise God, Jesus said, I go and prepare a place for you. He said, in my Father's house are many mansions. And I go and prepare a place for you. Hallelujah. He's got a place for you. He's got a place for you. He's got one for you. You won't have to go out and paint the porch every year. Hallelujah. You won't have to beat the rugs and all those other things. You won't have to chase Johnny outdoors. Painting the rooms, praise God, over there, hallelujah, there's a place for us. Glory. Think about it. You know, me and Sister Bear probably never own a place down here. But that'd be all right, as long as we got a roof over our head. We'll make it. I can live with her in a tent if I had to. We just moved south where the weather's a little warm. We might have to tie it down when the wind blows. Praise God, if I got her with me, everything would be all right. But praise God, just think about one day when the Lord comes and the rapture takes place. Oh, we're going to see Him, the Bible said, as He is. Praise God, what a wonderful thing that's going to be. I've never seen Him before, Brother Frankie. I've seen Him in the face of His people. I can see Him in your faces at times when God's on you and blessing you and you're working and serving God. You know, I can see Him in that way, but to see Him and say, I've looked upon the Lord, I've never seen Him. Praise God, eyeball to eyeball, but one day we're going to see Him. We're going to look upon His face. Hallelujah. I don't know how He's going to do it when we get over there, but perhaps He'll give each one of us a guided tour of that city. Oh, we can walk down the streets of gold. We can go, hallelujah, through those gates of pearl. We can go to Hallelujah Square and we can just let a hallelujah roll, hallelujah, and just have a good time in the Lord. We're going to see that one day. Church, we got to remain faithful to Him. Don't let the devil blind you. You know, he's blinded so many to the gospel. He's blinded us. You know, when we come to church, sometimes the only thing we see is, oh, preacher, you're just taking too long. I see the clock back there and it's time to go. Wonder what would happen if we could just get our eyes on Him while we're at the altar one night and seeing an old-time Holy Ghost outpouring, seeing people around the altar rolling in the Spirit, speaking in other tongues as the Holy Ghost gives the utterance, lifting holy hands, shouting and praising, running the aisles, whatever God wants, and not ashamed, praise God, for anybody to see them, praise God, because we see His power, His glory, appalling in the church again. Hallelujah. That's what I want to see, don't you? Praise God. An old time Holy Ghost outpouring. Oh, but no. You know, preacher, I just can't do that. Why not? Praise God. I remember. I can remember, and that's a sad thing, but I can remember times when we didn't care what time the church got out. Some of you can remember that. Oh, it didn't make no difference if you had to work tomorrow. You say, oh, I got to get up and go to work. Don't you think this God that we're serving can see to it that we've got strength to make it? Don't you think this God that said He'd renew our strength? Hallelujah. If we wait upon Him, don't you think that we can see some of that again in our churches? Hallelujah. That's what we need to see, church. Hallelujah. Oh, but I got to go.
Well, go ahead. I want God to bless me. I want God to touch me. Praise God. Let me look on here. Some are blind to their need for the new birth. This is a problem. Everybody now is born again. Everybody is going to heaven. No matter what they do, how they live, what they say, how they treat people, how they act, they can drink and smoke and do drugs, but they're all going to heaven. Not according to my Bible.
Amen.
Jesus said when we're born again, we're changed. But Jesus said, except a man be born again. Listen what He said to Nicodemus. He cannot see. He cannot see the kingdom of God.
Amen.
You know, if we're going to see it, we're going to have to be there. Praise God. If we're not there, we're going to be seeing something we don't want to see. Praise God. I want to see heaven, don't you?
Amen.
Praise God. Jesus goes on and says, except a man be born of the water and the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. The new birth is something we need to see in our churches. Anybody's born again anymore.
You know, you hear it all the time. And everybody's going to heaven. You can see them preach. Going to heaven. Sister Bear had a cousin that she went to the funeral. She hadn't seen him for many years. When she got there and looked in the casket, there was a pack of cigarettes and I think a beer can in the casket with him. My God, you think people that are honoring the God of this world and the sins of this world are going to see heaven? Not unless they repent and get their hearts right with God. You see, we're seeing a lot of things that are shocking today. It's shocking to see these things. You can look at TV and you can see everybody there going to heaven. No matter what the preachers do, we're seeing a lot of Hollywood telling us how we ought to live. My Lord, if we can't get it from this book, we're in trouble. God still tells us that we need to live a holy life. And some are blinded to the evil that this world holds. You know, they're not seeing the troubles and the problems. Satan's not showing people how that their families are going to be broken up. How that the divorce is going to tear their families and their homes apart. And you know, we've all seen that. We've probably all had family members that's got these problems in their life. And we're seeing these things all around us. And the devil's not showing them this. But if you look in this book, you'll find that the wages of sin is still death tonight. And God won't lie to you. He won't give you a false vision tonight. God is honest with us tonight. Many are blinded by Satan of their sinful condition. I'm going to hurry up and finish here in a minute. But you know, you think about what God tells us in Romans chapter 5 and verse 6. There's a helpless condition that people can't see themselves in tonight. Satan doesn't want them to see that. And the writer Paul said, for when we were yet without strength. You know, there, and I couldn't help but think, we're weak and without power to save ourselves from sin. Not a one of us can save ourselves from the sin that we're born in. It takes God. We're without strength to do anything about it. There's nothing that of God in us as sinners. Oh, but I'm a good person. The Bible said there's none righteous, no, not one. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And Paul says in Romans 5 and 6, another part of that verse, he said, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. That's you and me. He died for you and me because we were without God. Ephesians says this. He says that at that time ye were without Christ, having no hope and without God in the world. If you're not saved and ready to go tonight, you have no hope. You're on your way to hell. You're not going to make it to heaven. I don't care what the devil tells you tonight. God's word tells us we're going to hell. And we're going to be lost forever in torment forever and forever and forever. And Satan doesn't want anyone to see that. This lie that everybody's going to heaven. That's one of the biggest lies Satan ever put out. Another lie that he's telling people, young and old alike, you're never going to die. But you pick up the newspaper tomorrow. You turn to the obituaries. And you see sometime you'll see young ones and old ones and middle-aged ones. And you know, it doesn't make any difference how old we are. When death comes our way, we're not going to fight against it. Yeah. We're not going to have any power in that day. And if we're not ready, we're going to hell. And Satan doesn't want you to see that tonight. You know, this ought to stir us to do more about reaching our families. This ought to stir us about taking them to an altar of prayer and crying out to God. Turn the TVs off. My Lord, some people, we go down the road the other day and somebody's going down the road and in the back of the car they got two TVs going. People can't even go down the road without watching a TV set. Some of them putting them in their kitchen, in their bathrooms, and everywhere else. My God, they ought to be ashamed of that. We ought to be able to get away from some of those things that hinders us from taking our families to God. They're not just going to drift on in. But Jesus said they're going to have to be born again. Just like anybody. It's a requirement for everybody to make it to heaven. And if we don't pray enough conviction on them, what's going to happen? You know, we need to see. And like I said, sometimes it doesn't happen all at once, and don't get discouraged. But believe in God. Believe in His Word. Take them to God in prayer. And believe God's going to touch them. He will. God will touch them. He'll touch them when you're not around. He'll touch them maybe when you're asleep and they're trying to sleep. He might wake them up in the middle of the night. And you're just snoring away. And God might be dealing with them because you took time to pray for them. God's touching their hearts. And maybe one day they'll pick up the phone. Maybe they'll disturb your peace in the middle of the night. And you might get a call saying, Mom, Dad, I want to get saved. I need you to help me. I want to give my heart to Jesus. You told me about Him. You lived for Him. And He's been dealing with me. You see, I believe we can see those things happen. It's God's Word. It's His promise. He doesn't lie to us. When we go to Him and we take something like that to Him, it's according to His will. You go praying for a new Cadillac or a brand new house and you don't need it, don't expect God to answer that prayer. But you take your family member to the Lord. The Bible says it's not His will that any should perish. God will listen to you every time. God will touch their hearts. God's still on the throne, church. We need to see these things. Sister, would you get ready?
I got three more pages left. My goodness, we'll have to see to this later, won't we? Sinners are in a deplorable condition, just like you and I were at one time. Romans 5 and 8 says, but God commendeth His love toward us. And that word commend means He demonstrated His love. He proved it to us on Calvary. It says, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And then He says, much more then, being now justified by His blood, we shall be saved from wrath through Him. And you know, Satan doesn't want your family to see that the blood was for them. He doesn't want them to see that they're headed for wrath. He doesn't want them to see that God loves them, that God cares for them. Paul said this. He said, this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation that Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners, of whom I'm chief. You know, before Paul could ever see his need, God had to stop him on the road to Damascus. Here's a man going to Damascus. He's going up there with letters to persecute the church and to do his best to stop the movement of Christ in the church. And he was going to see to it that it happened. But Christ seen something different for Paul. And there in the middle of the road going to Damascus, Christ stopped him at the noonday. A light shined from heaven, brighter than the noonday sun. And this great man Paul, this mean guy that thought he was so mean he could do what he wanted, God stopped him and blinded him. Satan didn't blind him this time. He was blind to all the things of God, but Christ had to stop him there in the middle of the road. And when he raised up, the Lord stopped him. The Lord said, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And Saul answered him and said, Who art thou, Lord? He couldn't see how much God loved him until he stopped him in the middle of the road and blinded him. He said, I'm Jesus whom thou persecutest. He said, It's hard for you to kick against the pricks. The pricks were the things that they would use on the oxen to keep them going forward. When that team of oxen would stop and back up, the pricks would get them and they'd keep them going forward. And Jesus said, You can't do this anymore. And Saul said, Lord, what would you have me to do? He blinded him so he could see. Christ has a good intention for it. 3 days later, Saul was in a place, straight called straight. And God said to Ananias, I want you to go down there and I want you to pray for him. He said, He's a chosen vessel for me, and I want you to tell him of all the things he's going to have to suffer for my name's sake. He said, Well, Lord, this man has letters. He's done much harm to your people. He's got letters from the priest to come here. But you know, he said, I want you to go down there. Ananias walked in and began to pray for him. He said, The Lord sent me. And the minute that he prayed for him, something happened in Paul's life. Saul's life. That would change him. Everything would change about him, even his name. You talked about being a new creature. And when Ananias put his hands on him and prayed for him, great big old scales fell off his eyes. And for the first time in his life, this man could see his purpose in life. For the first time in his life, he could see what God wanted of him. Let me tell you something tonight. God doesn't want to hurt you or harm you. God doesn't want to take anything away from you, any pleasures. He's only taking the sin that weighs you down and take you to heaven. He'll give you more than what you've ever had before. And I'm not talking about money and things. I'm talking about the peace, the joy, the love. He'll take away every sin out of your life. He loves you tonight. Satan doesn't want you to see that. I want you to see that tonight. For the Bible said, For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. I don't care how long, I don't care what the devil thinks tonight. Church, I want us to see. We need to see that the things of this world are weighing some of us down. Over in the church of Laodicea, the Lord spoke to that church, wrote a letter, and He said, you're poor, you're wretched, you're blind,
You're miserable. You're naked. And what he's saying, you can't see your spiritual condition because of the blindness of the things. Because you say, I have need of nothing. There's not a one of us can stand here tonight and say we all need Jesus Christ in our life, because we all do. You're not going to get it from the things of this world. You're not going to get peace and joy and the love of God from the things of this world. It's not going to bring you the contentment that you need. You might buy a big old bed or a couch, and the only comfort it'll give you is something to rest on when you die. But it never spared you one more moment of life in this world. It's time to go. We're going. We need to be ready. See it tonight, church. See it tonight that you're going to die one day. Then what happens? Would you come? Let's come and gather around the altar.